tape is a production of All Roads Ministries. It is an educational tape in that it desires to educate people as far as the truth of Christianity goes and to acquaint them with some errors which they may have unintentionally been believing or holding to at this point. Christianity is that religion which holds that God is truth. It also is that religion which holds that at a certain time in history, God became man and founded a church. It also holds that certain things cannot be believed, other things must be believed. In other words, it takes truth as essential for its very nature. Protestantism is that group of Christian cults, sects, denominations, and groups which hold that they, and not Roman Catholicism or the Greek Orthodox communities, are true Christianity. This tape is designed to expose one of the errors of Protestantism. It will point out that this particular dogma of Protestantism is self-contradictory and therefore cannot be held as being true by any rational or honest person. When dealing with the errors of Protestantism, sometimes a difficulty arrives simply because not every Protestant denomination holds every error with the same degree of infidelity as every other denomination. This is because Protestant denominations change their dogmas frequently. They change them due to political expediency, financial gain, or cultural pressure. However, all Protestant denominations do have one thing in common, which allows this generalization to be made validly. That is, that all of the distinctly Protestant dogmas which they hold are all in error. The approach to show these errors shall be pretty much as follows. The Protestant position will be analyzed, that is to say, its internal relationships will be examined, and it will be shown that the position is self-contradictory, or in direct contradiction to Scripture, or that the position is refuted by known truth or commonly accepted principles. Each position will be shown to be false. That is, each Protestant position will be shown to be false. And as nothing false can be true, and as the God of the Christians is true, therefore Protestantism cannot claim to be that religion or system which brings men to the God of truth. Remember, nothing can be true and false at the same time, nor can God. And the only thing that is impossible for God is an untruth. With this in mind, we shall proceed to the argument proper. This particular tape deals with the Protestant view of sin and its role, or its lack of role, in the Protestant superstition. It will show clearly the foolishness of the system of Protestantism. To put it very simply and briefly, the proper understanding of sin, its nature, its effects, and so forth, is essential to Christianity. Protestantism has no explanation or understanding of sin. Therefore, Protestantism is not part of Christianity. Protestant theory must ignore sin or deny it if it does not wish to destroy itself by internal self-contradictions. Yet, by ignoring sin or denying it, it does accomplish this actual task of destroying itself as a valid system. Allow me to define a few terms. By sin, we mean those acts of man, spiritual, physical, and or mental, which are in violation of God's will, which has been made known to man. Therefore, sin is any act, thought, desire, or word which is against God and which leads man away from union with God. This tape is not concerned with moral theology. This means that we are not discussing whether action A is sinful or whether thought B is not. We are concerned with not the identification of individual sins, but rather with the concept, nature, and effect of sin as it is involved in the nonsensical system of the so-called theology of the Protestant. Briefly, we hold, and as do all Christians, with St. Paul, as he writes in Romans 14:23, that whatever violates a man's conscience is sinful. This is enough as a working definition for the subject matter of this tape, as we are not dealing with a Christian view of sin, but with the Protestant view of sin. Let us now examine that view, that is the Protestant view. The Protestant holds that man, before becoming born again, that is before conversion, before becoming a so-called Christian, is sinful by nature. That this sinful nature is a result of the fall of Adam, or the original sin.
This condition is inherited by all men, as all are sons of Adam. This status of man, due to original sin, makes man worthy of and justly deserving hell, simply because he is a man, and simply because Adam was his ultimate father. He does not need to do anything to deserve this punishment. He is automatically on his way to hell. This situation requires a redeemer to remedy. This redeemer is, of course, Jesus. By his death on the cross, Jesus pays the price of ransom, and man is freed from the penalty, or debt, of sin. Now, this last statement brings up the first problem. If, as the Protestant holds, Jesus has already paid, in full, the price for every sin which every man will ever commit, there really, therefore, cannot be any consequence if man sins. The debt is already paid. It really cannot matter if man sins. A credit account, an infinite credit account, has already been established. So what difference does it make if one draws on it, or if one does not draw on it? A common Protestant expression, and I'll refer to it several times, is that God has thrown all of man's sins away, has forgotten them totally. Man is declared just, or as it usually is put it, he has righteousness imputed to him. This status change of man occurs when man accepts Jesus as Savior, and the man becomes so-called saved. Let's follow this a little further. Remember, Protestant theology teaches that a man must be born again, that is, be converted, before he can enter heaven. They only teach this. They don't really believe it. But then Protestantism means teaching as true what one knows to be false. This doctrine, that is, of being born again, would necessarily mean that every poor aborted child or every miscarried child who does not come to full term roasts forever in hell simply because he is a descendant of Adam. For these unborn children cannot accept Jesus yet because they are not given the opportunity to do so. So off to hell they go. They haven't sinned, but their inheritance of sin from Adam condemns them unless they can believe. And they cannot believe because they cannot hear with understanding. And faith, so Romans 10:14-18 tells us, comes from hearing. And these children cannot hear, so they must go to hell. But as I say, Protestants merely teach this, they don't believe it. And ministers never, never, never tell their congregation this. They certainly won't tell some poor woman and her husband this, after the woman has had a miscarriage, or after the child has died in infancy, unable to hear with understanding the Word of God. Because these people might go to another church and might take their checkbooks with them, and no minister is likely to say something that will cut down on the amount of contributions. After all, if you're not going to serve God, and Protestants do not, you might as well serve money. So, when it concerns the original sin, that sin's effects, and so on, Protestants evade the issue, sidestep the question, run from the consequences, and lie. And then again, they lie again when they call themselves Christian, but at least in this case, they're being consistent. Now, what about actual sin? That is, the sin committed by a man, adult, and already understanding faith, after he understands this, after he is born again. If he sins, what happens to him? After man is saved, according to the Protestants, he has repented of his sins. He's acknowledged them, and he now attempts to reform his life in accord with God's word and God's will. Now, what happens after he does this and yet still sins? And quite frankly, I take it as axiomatic that we all understand that all of us alive today do sin, whether we are, quote, saved or not. If his sins have already been paid for, then his sins, past or future, mean nothing so far as his salvation is concerned. Therefore, as he is saved by faith alone, that is what the Protestants say, that is, acceptance of Jesus, then, by faith alone, he might just as well sin or not sin, as he will not be punished with hell because he does sin, nor will he be rewarded with heaven because he does not sin. But what does Scripture state on this subject? The references are too many to go into in a tape of this length. I suggest to you that you obtain the tape on the Protestant errors on salvation, which deal with this issue at length. I will make only a few references here simply to establish the point, and as it is Orme's policy in other tapes, I will not read the scripture, but simply refer to them and encourage you to read them for yourselves. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23 has Jesus stating that the evildoers, that is sinners, will not be saved but will be damned. St. Paul repeats this message frequently in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, to cite only two examples. Now, this is an interesting point because these people, that is at least the Corinthians and the Galatians, are already Christians, otherwise Paul would not be writing them letters, and their sins, according to Protestant theory, are already forgotten, already paid for, already put aside, already annihilated, already removed totally. And yet, St. Paul, inspired by God, states that these people will not go to heaven if they sin. This is totally contrary to the Protestant belief system, as explained previously. But of course, St. Paul was not a Protestant. No one was until 1517, at least. So, of course, St. Paul refutes Protestants. And St. Paul, of course, was a Christian. Therefore, there must be some way to reconcile these two aspects, and Protestants do frequently attempt it. And this is where the self-contradiction becomes obvious and the system falls apart. Although the price has been paid, they say, although the sins are forgotten and done away with, although they are no longer remembered by God, they must somehow yet be forgiven. I know that this doesn't make any sense, but it's not supposed to. After all, it's not Christianity, it is Protestantism. So, forgiving, they say, now becomes the means by which the forgotten sins, the paid-for sins, become more forgotten and yet more paid for, and the saved man becomes saved and a half, or maybe twice saved, or saved twice. I'm not really sure about this. I never could get it straight from them. The issue of forgiveness in Christianity is dealt with at length in another tape, and I suggest you obtain it. But I shall deal only with it briefly here to establish a few main points and show the errors of Protestantism in this tape. The Protestant holds that a man, when becoming converted or born again, must repent for his sins. He makes application to God for the credit earned by Jesus. The act of repentance washes away the sins he has committed. Now God forgets them again, I suppose, since he's probably forgotten them before. Yet, in Scripture, in Matthew 6:14, Luke 11:25, Luke 11:4, Luke 6:36, all these passages state that forgiveness is as a result of forgiving others. We will be forgiven as we forgive others, as it says in the Lord's Prayer. Luke chapter 7, verse 47, also states that forgiveness is dependent on the degree of love that a person has. There is nothing here about faith, conversion, being born again, etc. Luke 24:27 makes forgiveness a function of repentance and makes Jesus demand that his apostles bear witness to this. John 20:21 makes forgiveness of his sins as a result of the activity and power of the apostles. In other words, here men have the power from God to forgive or to refuse to forgive the sins of other men. James demands that Christians confess their sins of one another in his letter, chapter 5, verse 15. So Scripture has sin as being forgiven as a result of confession, forgiveness of others, and by some instrumentality of man, that is, man being used as an instrument of God. None of this is in Protestant theory, but then Scripture has no place in Protestant theory. Sometimes Protestants will state that after salvation, a man must confess his sins to be forgiven, even though God has already forgotten and those sins anyway, but somehow man's supposed to confess them again. Never, of course, confess to a man, as is required by Scripture, but rather somehow directly, in some vague sense, directly to God. So the question then becomes, what if a saved man dies before he confesses his sin? What happens? Well, there are several alternative answers to this. Number one, he goes directly to hell, in which case, then, his faith did not save him. but avoiding sin would save him, which means that man is saved by his works, that is, his avoiding sin, his doing good, and not by his faith. And of course, that's exactly what Jesus says in Matthew 25, but that's exactly the opposite of what Protestants say brings about salvation, so there goes the whole Protestant belief system. Alternative number two. He doesn't confess his sin, but he goes to heaven anyway, which means that forgiveness is not necessary. So again, sin has no place in salvation, nor does forgiveness of sin have any place in salvation. And if man doesn't need his sins forgiven to be saved, then why did Jesus die on the cross to establish this credit account by which you could have your sins forgiven anyway, and therefore Jesus did something which has nothing to do with salvation? And of course, there goes the boss, every kind of belief system whatsoever that has any claim on Christianity. Well, alternative number three. The guy hasn't confessed the sins, but somehow he gets them forgiven somewhere, and somehow after death, but before entry into heaven. But that means purgatory. And for a Protestant to accept formally purgatory, which they all, by the way, accept informally, and I suggest you obtain the tape with what Protestants really believe, to accept formally to do this means that they can no longer remain anti-Catholic. And the only, and I repeat, the only identification a Protestant really has is that he says he is not a Catholic. That's the only way he can define himself. And if he were to now abandon this, he could no longer remain a Protestant. Alas, what a situation it is that a person can only define himself by what he is not and never by what he is. Well, one could also use the approach of rejecting the question. After all, by simply saying no Christian will die before he has confessed the sin, because God will manage to keep that man alive until he repents and confesses. And therefore, a sinful man who refuses to confess will live forever by sinning, and his very sinning will keep him alive forever as long as he refuses to confess. And therefore, the wages of sin are eternal life. Now, please do believe me that I actually have heard this from a minister. This is not theoretical. This is an actual Protestant belief. Well, let's take the other Protestant approach, because after all, we have a total failure on this one. They have no explanation whatsoever on what happens to a man who dies who has not yet confessed his sins. That is, no explanation which can keep consistent with other basic Protestant beliefs. So let's take the other Protestant approach. All men are forgiven everything, past and future, when they become born again or converted or Christian or accept Jesus as their Savior or whatever other phrase they're using these days. So these problems are not relevant because they don't exist. But once again, Scripture and reason destroy this Protestant view. First of all, if all is forgiven, then by definition, sin is allowed, and God doesn't really care about sin occurring anyway. And therefore, we might as well just go out and sin. And this is exactly what Martin Luther, the first Protestant, said. Sin boldly. And this is exactly what St. Paul opposed. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. After all, this issue came up even at that time. And St. Paul was explaining that the Protestant view was totally wrong. Secondly, if anyone believed this, that you're automatically forgiven anything no matter what you do, then they would logically, immediately commit suicide to achieve heaven at once. And I deal with this more in the tape on dealing with predestination. The mere fact that people are alive means they don't really believe it. Thirdly, Scripture is clear on this matter. Hebrews 10:26 states that the willful sinner, and again, that is all of us alive today, whether Christian or Protestant, male or female, young or old, if we are a competent adult, if we know what we're doing, we commit sins. That willful sinners, after receiving the truth, have no further sacrifice for sin, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and flames. And verse 31 states that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But it shouldn't be, and it couldn't be, if God forgets everything and forgave everything. But then again, a God who can forget probably forgot to properly inspire the author of Hebrews. And of course, he certainly forgave the author for writing incorrect inspiration. But those are the words of God, aren't they? And 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 speaks of deadly and non-deadly sins. That is, mortal and venial sins for you non-Christians out there. Protestants makes no distinction between different types of sin. But John does. And what a sin that is deadly means is that it brings about damnation. And if sin has no effect on salvation, then John doesn't know what he's talking about. Hebrews 6:4 states that repentance is impossible for those who fall away after being saved. But then again, why should they even attempt repentance if everything is already forgiven anyway? Just because repentance is a necessary part of getting your sins forgiven shouldn't have anything to do with this, because they're already forgiven anyway, according to the Protestants, but again, not according to Scripture. I know it's getting confusing, but do try to hang in there. And Jesus speaks in Matthew 12:32 and Mark 3:28-29 of an unforgivable sin. And Jesus mentions that it wouldn't be forgiven now or later, that is, not in this world or the next, very interestingly. But the Protestants say all sins are forgiven. But Protestants tell us that God has forgiven and forgotten everything. So I guess Jesus forgot this, after all. Why should that be a problem if we have a forgetful God? But then again, Jesus lived and died 15 centuries before there were any Protestants. There were only Jews and Christians around then. In other words, the word of the Christian God states that sins can remain unforgiven, and that the sin can lead to damnation. And this destroys this particular Protestant view. Now, of course, by now you have noticed that none of this Protestant nonsense has anything to do with real Christianity, which comes from God. But then the coins of the counterfeiter have no relationship with the coins of the government treasury. There is one last escape some Protestants attempt, and that is mainly to attribute to God responsibility for all human actions. In other words, once a man becomes born again or saved or converted or accepts Jesus or lets Jesus into his heart, again, the phrase doesn't really mean anything, that man now becomes an instrument of God. That man now becomes a glove, and the hand of God is underneath that glove, making that glove move as the hand moves. The Holy Spirit inside this man acts within him. Now, when I asked the minister about this, he explained that although both he and the Holy Spirit tried very, very hard not to sin, this minister does sin anyway. So sin is stronger than God, which of course is a very Protestant view, as I explained in the tape available to God of the Protestants. And, or, the other alternative, which must be included in this approach, is that the Holy Spirit, which now dwells in man and now controls man, somehow forces man to sin. This means that God is a sinner. And I'm sure God, of course, forgets about the sin immediately and forgives himself like he does to everything else. So with this attempted reconciliation, we have the situation of either God can't resist temptation because he's not strong enough, or he's a sinner. This is so moronic and so blasphemous, and so self-evidently so, that I will not comment on it further. But then again, as I say, no one believes it. They only teach it. Let's try briefly to examine what we've dealt with so far. Here's the situation. There's really only two choices. Either sin has an effect on salvation, or sin does not have an effect on salvation. If man can be punished in hell because of his sins, then he is not saved by faith alone, but he is saved by also avoiding sin. If he is allowed to go into heaven even though he does sin, if no sin can have any effect on his salvation, then there is no need for doing anything good. There is no need for accepting Jesus, because it would be a sin to reject him, and there is no need for Jesus to pay for these sins, for which there is no penalty. Sin must carry a penalty. It must carry a punishment. That is, at least potentially. Of course, like any debt, it can be forgiven or it can be paid. But if sin incurs no debt whatsoever, if it has no effect on man's ultimate destiny, if it has no effect on his fate, if it has no effect on whether he goes to heaven or hell, then the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and the revulsion of God to sin makes no sense whatsoever. This is why the Protestant view of sin, which tries to straddle both positions at the same time, and by being so inconsistent and so self-contradictory, destroys the Protestant view. There's an old expression. Basically, man cannot be saved by faith alone if sin can prevent him from going to heaven. And if sin can prevent him from going to heaven, then he must do something else, which of course involves the necessity of works. If sin does not prevent him from going to heaven, then there is no need for Christianity. everybody goes to heaven. We're now in a universal system. And God can judge no one because he can impose no penalty on a man for whose sins he has already forgiven and forgotten. This is the problem that Protestantism has. This is why it cannot deal with sin. And if it cannot deal with sin, it is in the same situation as the doctor who cannot deal with disease but can deal easily with health. That is not when you need the doctor. The fact is, we are all sinners, and we need some way to understand sin, understand its role in Christianity, and understand the concept of forgiveness. Without that, you cannot be Christian. And without that, you have Christianity in a form of Protestantism, which is to say, no Christianity whatsoever. We have briefly dealt with scriptural passages, reason, and the Protestant view in this tape. What we have said is that the Christian God states that sin can remain unforgiven or be forgiven, that it can damn man or bring about punishment. If the Christian God says that, then any system which claims to be Christianity must also claim this. But the Protestant system is not Christian, and it is not Christianity. It is a human-fabricated, human-invented, and human-sustained system, which requires that one put aside the word of God and follow instead the word of man. In other words, there are two choices. One may choose the Christian God in his words, or the Protestant minister or in his words. The choice is between God and man. But that is the choice that is always presented to us, as was the very first choice presented in a similar fashion to Adam and Eve, and as is presented again to us today and will be again presented to us tomorrow. No man can serve two masters, and if he serves himself, if he makes a god of his own stomach, he cannot serve the God who has created him, the God who has created heaven and earth, the God who does forgive sins, but who also will put a man into hell if those sins are not forgiven or paid for. There were references made on this tape to related tapes. Primarily, I would suggest that you obtain the Protestant view of salvation and its errors, also the tapes dealing with predestination, also the tape dealing with the God of the Protestants and what Protestants really believe. Copies of this tape and the tape mentions may be obtained by writing to All Roads Ministries, and that may be abbreviated ARM, 38 Charlotte Grove, Hopewell Junction, New York, 12533.